I love Dick Murdoch, and once again, it was just a special talent and a personality. Dick, you know, every great wrestler in the 70s, almost it seemed like, came from West Texas State. Dory Funk, Terry Funk, Ted DiBiase, just on and on and on. Dick was from Amarillo. His father, Frankie Hill Murdoch, was a great pro in the days of Dory Funk Sr. and was a big star in Amarillo. Dick Murdoch never went to West Texas State. And he's definitely never played on the fucking football team. But over the years after that, he was able to tell people that story so much and convince them that he did play football for West Texas State with all these other great wrestlers, that when they would have the alumni games, they'd have him play. It's a fucking school. He never went to college. And he played in the alumni games because he bullshitted his way into it. He finally, when he got mostly out of wrestling, he got a job for Coors. He moved to Colorado and got a job as a spokesman and a goodwill ambassador for Coors. So basically, Dick Murdoch, after leaving wrestling, got a job where he was paid to drink Coors beer and tell other people how good it was. That's how good Dick Murdoch was. He was one of a kind. He will never be repeated.
To paraphrase William Joel, bottle of oil, bottle of white, must be talking wrestling tonight, baby oil and blow. It's me, Big Time Matto, with me as always. You can be, what were their names? We'll give you, you look more like the Chaska of the group, so Chaska Watley to my Tiger Conway.
That's very flattering to both of us.
Yeah, of course.
Ahoy.
He's really Nate Adams.
To paraphrase another great man, William Corrigan.
Oh, he's a good dude.
Yeah, today is the greatest day I've ever known.
Really?
So it's good to be here.
Wow.
It's good to be talking wrestling again. That might be a gross exaggeration, but I think that that was a song from the 90s, which were dripping with sarcasm, so it was appropriate here.
Oh, boy.
Not really the greatest day.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, this is the first time I've spoken today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you take some kind of like vow of silence for today?
I just hadn't left the house, and until like 15 minutes ago when the Hausfrau got home, no one had been here, so I just had realized that I hadn't opened my mouth until just now.
Yeah.
And now I'm supposed to like, what, talk for like an hour? Just keep talking for an hour? That's a big transition to make, man.
Yeah, I hadn't talked for a few hours leading up to this.
I really like that. And then people are like, oh, we need your gift of gab to get this podcast out for the people. It's important everybody hears. And I'm like, oh, you people are draining me. Draining me dry.
I hadn't talked because I locked myself in my wrestling vault where I just, you know, labor over tape, you know.
Me getting ready for that big Monsters Ball match you're going to have tonight at the stroke of midnight. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, you got to have one of those.
Locked into a wrestling vault for 24 hours, and they let you out, and the Abyss throws himself in thumbtacks or fire in front of you.
Yeah, somebody's going to get lit on fire, or one of you takes a thumbtack.
I heard a big rumor that you've been trying to push this whole talking modern wrestling news portion up right here.
Yeah.
Abyss is back in TNA wrestling.
Yeah.
That's the big news for this week, I think.
That's going to be the news?
That's what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, he's back with
putting up the headlines
with a shaved head, Father James Mitchell.
Oh wow, that'll put butts in the seats, right, Tony Schiavone? Right.
Hey,
you and me are incredulous, Tony Schiavone.
We missed the scoop by 12 hours.
And there was people were giving out free ice cream, and nobody told me.
Well, no, no, no.
You know I love.
No, we'd find out about that.
Tasty treats, frozen treats.
Yeah, the chocolate factory caught on fire. Whole town smells like chocolate. You want to go smell?
That's a good reference and also a thing that I would like, because once they shut down that chocolate factory in Chicago, I was very sad. It no longer smells like chocolate anymore.
Oh, man, yeah.
Turns out the EPA was like, oh, you shouldn't be putting so much chocolate smell up in the air. Look at, what are you so incredulous about?
Yeah, the chocolate.
Lady just came out of the kitchen real mad. She liked the chocolate smell too.
Must be that time of the month.
Everybody is just should be up in arms, but really, I've heard nothing about it out on the streets. Yeah. People should be protesting. They got all these people protesting gun violence.
What about
the lack of chocolate smell these
days? Well, hold on. Tommy Chi-Town's a little busy. The Loyola Ramblers are on a deep run in the college tourney. When he gets back, you'll have to get
Chicago
his thoughts.
Chicago kid's a little bit busy with that Final Four.
Yeah, he hasn't had time.
We'll get him back on it. Maybe, you know, did not go to law school, but I'm sure he studied plenty of law. So probably we can get him to sue the EPA and get those guys back in business, throwing unhealthy amounts of whatever up into the air so that the whole of the western part of downtown smells like cocoa again.
Oh, it's delicious. Do you want to apologize to the five virgins listening at home about your Daniel Bryan prediction last week, about him never wrestling again?
I don't, you know, listening back to it, you'd accuse me of this after he was, you were like, and I was like, no, I didn't predict that he would never wrestle again. I sarcastically said that the losers on the internet's dream would be, Roman Reigns doesn't wrestle anymore and Daniel Bryan comes back and he wins everything.
Okay.
Which was accurate. And is also something that might happen, minus the Roman Reigns part, because, you know, everybody's going to get real excited about this. Here, you want your real prediction? Here's my new one.
Okay.
Within 6 months.
Oh, hold on. This needs to be played up more like like a baby oil and blow predictions.
In the year 2000.
2019?
Yeah.
What do you got for us? Lay it on him.
Daniel Bryan's going to come back. Okay. WrestleMania, he's going to wrestle again. He's going to be by far the biggest successful good guy they've had on their roster since the last time Daniel Bryan was wrestling at WrestleMania.
Next to Ronda Rousey.
Within 6 months, they're going to turn him heel and put him in a feud with Roman Reigns as a good guy.
Oh.
You know they're going to do it.
Ooh, Swerve City.
They're not going to just be like, oh, good, a huge success has fallen in our lap. Let's capitalize on this and make money from it.
It's the mayor of Swerve City, Nate Adams.
Unless Vince McMahon dies in the next 6 months and, like, people who aren't fucking slipping down the backside.
Look how little he is.
You know, doddering old...
he looks stupid.
Yeah, Alzheimer's cases take over the company.
Yeah.
It'll be a... hell, man, this guy's ruining all our plans. He's getting all the cheers. We gotta turn him heel.
Make him boom.
Unless he's just in enough of a ghetto over on SmackDown that Vince thinks nobody even watches that show or cares.
Ooh.
That could be the case.
Could be a case.
But not with those dual pay-per-views going on these days.
Ooh.
You got SmackDown and Raw guys on the same pay-per-views.
Ooh.
That's going to get Vince's attention.
Yeah, he's going to have to
That's what's gonna
sit
make
there
him
and
pull
find
the trigger.
Out who's cheering for who.
It's going to make him pull the trigger.
What? They like this guy?
This guy looks stupid. He's a little squirrely weirdo.
He's got a beard. He looks sick.
You just want to pick on him. That's why we're going to turn him heel.
Yeah.
And our bully audience will cheer me and Roman.
If only that were the case.
Yeah.
But enough. Enough modern romance.
Yeah.
Let's go to a romantic,
romantic
tale
era,
of yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
Of yesteryore.
So, talk about some like Lord Byron works or something? Is that what we're going to do?
Byron Saxton? No.
Yeah, no. We're going to continue talking about wrestling because that's how we've been wasting our lives is we watch really bad wrestling.
Literally wasting it.
Get together on a night when we could be doing, I don't know, we could have a book club or something
yeah.
to bring it back around to Lord Byron shit. We could be meeting with all the housewives in the neighborhood,
absolutely.
Talking about great literary works, maybe, you know, improving ourselves in some way.
We're literally dedicating at least one full day to this.
Oh, yeah,
in total man hours.
Ugh. Disgusting. All right, but let's get into it. We've got a new episode of World Championship Wrestling. This is the January 30th episode from 1988. This is going to be the Bunkhouse Stampede Fallout. If you remember last time we were down here in the Southern Territory, Dusty Rhodes had proven himself to be the Bullet of Woods, baby, by winning his third.
Bullet of Woods.
Count them third
do
Bunkhouse
you,
Stampede.
Every year you win, do you get to be the Bull of the Woods? Or
yeah,
are you only qualified as the Bull of the Woods after you three-peat?
I think winning each year proves that you are the Bull of the Woods, essentially. And,
right.
But once you do it three times, that's when you've just proven that you are the only Bull of the Woods, so there's no point in having any more Bunkhouse Stampedes. So after this, it's going to be a thing that got retired.
Oh.
Even if you had it now, with Dusty being dead, he would still somehow come out being the Bull of the Woods.
That's cool.
Do bulls live in woods? I don't I think Dusty needs to go back and take some more science classes. For a guy that like dresses like a ranch hand so much, it doesn't seem like he knows much about cows.
It's more range life, you know?
Mm.
If I could settle down.
Mm. And I would settle down and do a little bit of a rundown. That's right. Rundown coming at you this week, sponsored by 90s alt band Pavement and their critically lauded sophomore album, Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain. They took a little bit of the stuff they made from that and they gave it to us.
Yeah.
Do this rundown. Couldn't believe it. Seemed random. First match, Midnight Express versus El Negro and Dave LaPruce.
I thought it was Dale Amalusa.
Oh, it's Dave LaPruce, I'm going to say. I copied these down straight.
Did they write it? Did they show it on the screen?
Straight off the graphics, the on-screen graphics.
Oh, I didn't even notice it. I was just listening.
Eaton pins Negro after the rocket launcher. Second match, not really a match. We just get the end of a match. They show us the finish of Nikita Koloff versus Mike Rotunda for the TV title because we got a title switch.
Baby.
Rotunda wins it. He gets heavy interference from his varsity club brothers, Kevin Sullivan and Rick Steiner. But, you know, a win's a win. He gets that W.
Yeah.
He gets that title up there on his shoulder. Third match, speaking of titles, we got the brand new Western States Heritage champion, Lethal Larry Zbyszko.
Martial arts expert Larry Zbyszko.
Z-Man. The original Z-Man in there versus Alan Martin.
Nice guy.
Yeah, just... Overall, just nice math teacher, Alan Martin, I guess. Zbyszko wins.
I said he looked like a sandy blonde, curly-haired version of Bo Dallas.
Oh, yeah, he might have.
I could see him being like Rotundo's brother or something.
Maybe like a cousin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have looked into that.
Might be in the family.
Have to bing it.
Zbyszko wins with a pile driver. Nay. Not enough. He picks him up over that pile driver is like, just for like to make sure. I don't want any horror movie endings where I think the guy's dead, then
that's
he pops
smart.
Up. Swinging neck
he's,
breaker.
Hey, he's
and then
champion.
He puts him away.
He's champion now. That's how you stay champion.
Champion for
decisions
a reason.
Decisions like that.
I think it's baby doll in his corner. That's the X factor.
Ooh, baby.
Next match, we've got the Jive Tones.
Yeah.
Couple of black guys in pimp hats. Didn't really get their names. They're in
it
there
was,
against...
It was Chaska Watley and Tiger Conway.
Okay, yeah. They didn't put it up on the... they just said the Jive Tones on the thing, but yeah.
Luckily...
They were saying it during the commentary,
Shivani
but
and JR were both very familiar.
I guess now that I've heard you say those names, I can understand why I couldn't make out what they were saying whenever they were saying their names. In there with Kendall Windham. Speaking of extended members of the Windham family, the Italian Stallion. Perennial late 80s, early 90s...
Journeyman.
Job guy who's
Journeyman.
Not treated like a job guy for some reason in the NWA and WCW.
He kind of falls into that Special Delivery Jones category.
I mean, SD Jones has got some charisma, though. If I was running the territory, Italian Stallion would be eating pins, man.
Wow.
Be eating pins.
Oh, maybe he didn't take a good look at his hair.
Which he did here. Because the Tones win after one of them kneed the Stallion's back a little bit, like a running knee when he was distracted by his partner.
Like a dope.
And then that other one who was doing the distraction was pulling on his leg from under the ring. Get himself a little extra. They cheated a bunch is what I'm saying. These Jive Tones, they seem like real dirty pool players.
Maybe Teddy Long should have paid a little more attention.
Yeah, W is a W. Ronnie Garvin and Jimmy Garvin. The Garvin family.
The Garvin boys.
They're in there versus Charles Ryan and Tony Suber. This ends... scintillating fashion when
that Tony Super built like a brick shitter, huh?
Oh yeah, sure was. Guys looked real impressive all around. Everything in this match is real impressive. Ronnie Garvin punches Charles Ryan in the head, and then he straight up sits on his face like porno style.
Yeah,
like ass domination porno.
Yeah,
if you were to like bing that term, what you would get is, you know, essentially what Ronnie Garvin does to win this match.
Yeah, face sitting.
Goddamn, Sting. He's in there versus a man named Bob Emery. Man, it looked like he was put together.
Was it Emmerich or Emery? It was Emery.
Either way, this guy was on the gas, and he didn't last long, though.
No.
Splash, Scorpion, submission. It was about 4 seconds. I figured with this guy's look, maybe they'd give him a little bit more time to impress. But no, Sting's getting pushed now.
Hey, this ain't Vince McMahon's company,
so much so that, if it was Vince McMahon's company, he probably also wouldn't be getting 2 Sting matches in a row. What the hell is that? Formatted this show. Sting and Barry Windham, they're in there versus Gary Royal and Mike Jackson. It's much of the same. Another big old squash match, splash, scorpion, submission, end it.
That's got to be it, though, right?
Nope, we got a main event. We got a big main event. Powers of Pain.
They haven't mentioned it once all episode. The
Warlord and the Barbarian. They got the big bench press coming up. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
We're not to the bench press. That means we need to push the bench press. Another squash match here. Yeah. Blinking, you'd miss it. Warlord belly to belly, Barbarian flying headbutt. That's all she wrote.
Yep.
That's all she wrote for the rundown. Now we're going to move on to the five count.
Yeah.
Where we dig in deeper to the show and we pick our five talking points that we're going this to bring to you.
Yeah. This is the stuff that causes Vietnam flashbacks right here, you know?
Oh,
this is
absolutely.
Like, not like, hey, I remember the war. The five count, like, you know, the rundown is, hey, I remember the war.
Sure.
Maybe I was like in the.
Yeah.
Merchant Marines or some shit during it, but no. Five counts
like when a firework goes off somewhere or a car backfires and then your whole body jerks to the left
because you did so many calendars in Da Nang.
Suddenly you're in it. You're just back in it.
So you were in Vietnam, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Were you in the shit?
Yeah, I was in the shit.
Speaking of Nam vets, currently watching the great 70s film Cutter's Way, where John Hurd plays an alcoholic veteran with a missing eye and missing arm. It's only $5 on iTunes right now. I'm going to put that out there.
Ooh.
Great film. Blind buy it. Get out there and make it happen. Get it while it's hot.
Yeah.
Got fucking Jeff Bridges with abs in this movie, and he only wears a shirt like twice.
Why would he?
If you had abs once in your life, you would not have a shirt on for that 6 months. I guarantee it.
God bless him. Just like when Burt Reynolds didn't want to wear that wetsuit in Deliverance because he got jacked
for once
in his life. Yeah, you never realized that?
Okay, no.
They wanted him wearing a full wetsuit.
And he was like, no way.
But he worked out with a personal trainer before Deliverance because he thought he was going to be like shirtless in the whole movie.
Welcome matted chest hair to the people.
So he
people
gets
need
there.
To see this
they,
shit.
He gets there on set and they hand him this full wetsuit and he's like, well,
but
I've been working out.
That's why Vince McMahon needs to produce movies, man. There would not be all these clothes on movie sets if he was in charge.
So that's why Reynolds has that vest in that movie, and it's always zipped all the way down.
Probably if he would have wore that wetsuit, he wouldn't have got so many hillbillies horny.
Well,
poor planning.
I don't know how to... That's a very Indiana statement.
What's your number one?
Mine's like way down the line, so
okay,
if you want to talk about Cornette or something.
My number one is just my fear of racism whenever I'm watching these shows.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just always like,
so you
want to
talk about
get?
Cornette.
How bad is this going to get? So when the first match was the Midnight Express versus some guy and another guy named El Negro, I was like, oh, God, please don't let there be a black guy in a mask that they're calling El Negro.
Yeah.
Please don't let there be a black guy in a mask that they're calling El Negro. And then I saw the guy and I was like,
is he like
borderline?
Is he dark Hispanic?
This guy, like Dominican, Israel, light-skinned brother. And I binged him. And it turns out he had a Hispanic-sounding name.
Okay.
Whew. Big
close.
Deep breath. I was like, ha, thank God.
Close.
But then those jive tones came out later. And they were kind of racist, their whole presentation.
You're burying the lead, I feel.
Okay, what's the lead here?
Who came out before Dale, Dave, La Rosa, and El Negro?
Oh, I don't know. You got me.
It was our boy Davy Crockett
throwing
to an interview of their newest wrestler,
Ricky
Santana.
Ricky Santana started up, which is a guy who's just like, he's a new wrestler. And he basically came out in a white suit and then was just like, hey, I'm a new wrestler. And they were like, you sure are. And then that was over.
There was two great parts
to that. What a way
to
get, was it how he had the most square head of any man I've ever seen in my life?
Number,
that's all I wrote down.
Number one was Davey excited that Ricky Santana is there. And then he has no idea where he is, even though he's standing behind him.
Well, yeah, he's coming out.
He's not coming out
stage left.
He's not doing a bit. Like, Dave Crockett just seriously has no idea where this guy is until
cataracts.
He like, bumps into him and he's like, ho. And then
he was standing right next to me in a bright white suit the entire time.
The other dynamite part of this is after Ricky Santana cuts that promo where he goes into Spanish and then leaves, Jim Cornette takes the stage and yells at him, real nice suit, Papito. I love it.
I think he was serious, though. I mean, Jim Cornette wears some pretty gaudy suits. I feel like him and Ricky Santana were probably talking backstage after this, like, where do you do your shopping? Goddamn! I never seen a suit so bright in my whole life!
Goddamn, Papito!
You know, he's down with the people.
Oh, boy.
Cornette's down here street level, talking to the people. Jim Cornette's street people.
You keep insisting and reassuring me that Cornette's not the world's biggest racist.
He is
and yet every
liberal
week,
man.
Every week he's trying to show me otherwise.
However, he was banned from Twitter 2 weeks ago from saying that Donald Trump should bomb North Korea because he found out that they eat dog there.
How did he not know that took place there?
He read some sort of like article about like, no, it's not just like a thing that happens in jokes. There's literally like... This was not even North Korea. It was South Korea because there's so many restaurants that serve dog.
Correct.
Like, and so they, in preparation for the Olympics, they had to be like, hey, guys, take dog off your menu for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a lot of them didn't because dog's their best seller.
Yeah.
So, like, then people started showing up for the Olympics and being like, what the fuck? There's dog on all these menus. Then it sort of became like a new outrage.
How do people not know this?
Well, I think everybody just assumed that it's a racist joke. Like, oh, no. You go to an Asian restaurant, they're going to serve you dog.
No, that's like a truth thing. Like,
well, there's a lot of us who have had our heads broken open recently and the truth is pouring in.
Nationalities eat different things.
Yeah.
Mexicans eat tongue.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there's anything more inherently wrong with eating a dog than eating a pig.
Yeah.
If you like eating an animal, eat a fucking animal. Or if you think eating animals is horrible, don't eat animals.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't be like, oh, I can eat this animal but not that animal. Give me a fucking break.
Heart wants what the heart wants.
I would eat human meat if I didn't get thrown in jail for it.
Oh, God.
You put human meat in front of me? Are you telling me you wouldn't taste it if it was, like, no repercussions? We cooked up some human meat, like, on the grill. Got a nice, like, salt and pepper olive oil here. Maybe some rosemary.
How long was it, like, marinating?
I'm sure, like, it's prepared right. Probably by, like, a Gordon Ramsay. Or maybe a Bobby Flay. Bobby Flay probably grilled it. He put some chipotle peppers on it or something.
I feel like if I'm going to taste it, I'm going to want mine medium well, at least. I don't think I want pink.
No, I imagine human meat being much like a pork or a chicken.
Where you don't want pink.
Yeah, you're not looking for that.
I don't want hepatitis C because I ate.
Yeah, pork's advanced enough to where you can go a little bit rare on that these days. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, fam, cook it like pork, I'm saying.
Ooh, question.
Mm-hmm.
How many beers have I had when you offer me this?
Oh, man, if we're eating human meat, I feel like we're throwing back some cold ones for sure.
All right.
Maybe like, I don't know, like maybe just like some Mexican beer, I see, like just like some simple, refreshing, just like cervezas.
A couple Pacificos, maybe?
Maybe like a Bohemia.
That's nice.
Light but refreshing. It's got a little bit of that malt flavor.
But I've had a few.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to eat that meat.
And then, like, probably we're getting down on some, like, chips and queso, too.
Oh, I'm going to eat that then. Yeah. Put it in a tortilla. Like,
what were we talking about before this? I wanted to get back into it. And
no
then I
idea.
Down and my notes are still just
racist,
like, at the beginning.
Racist WCW.
Oh, yeah. I was afraid there was going to be racism and then there wasn't. But then the Jive Tones came out and they cut a promo where they spoke 100% in Jive. So I was like, oh, that's really racist. But then I was also like, these guys are a pretty good promo.
Yeah.
I wonder why I don't remember them. It seems like they would have went further cutting these good promos.
We can talk about their promo real quick because I'm going to talk more about them later. We'll talk about the match. But I enjoyed them. It was, what's his name? Tiger Conway spoke first, and he was a little more well-spoken of the two. And then they
he's one of the good ones then? That's what you're saying?
No, they throw it to two-time athlete. Your words, not mine. Two-time athlete. Chaska Watley, who's just...
What's his other sport?
I don't know. JR loves college, all right?
Okay, that makes sense.
That's the moral of the story. He's all screams. And who are they? They're cutting a promo on one of the other teams.
The whole tag division, basically.
I don't know. They
mentioned the Lightning Express.
Yes, it was the Lightning Express, to which I don't know which one he's talking about, but he yells, looking like Humpty Poda from Sarasota.
That's true. That's a deep cut.
I don't know what that means.
Bing it. You know, it's a funny joke, I would imagine.
And then they end it with the Booker T. Sucker!
The passion of Valencia. The colors of Rio. The mystery of Montevideo. Fiore. Fire. Never before more than I had to be. Tonight, feel like a bitch. Why do you do it? Power. It came from the favelas of Brazil to take over an entire world. Fury. Now, you too can smell like a B-movie star.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Good stuff for 1988. That's... I saw big things for this team, but I guess they went nowhere because I don't even remember them existing.
Yeah, I thought they were good too. My number one is going to go to that promo from the Varsity Club.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because what was that?
This is their big celebration after we see that Rotunda has won the TV title. It's weird they have... They do an angle where I guess he can't be a double champion, so he hands that Florida championship to Rick Steiner. Well, that was the whole point of it, I think, to establish that Steiner is now the Florida champion.
Yeah, well, hold on right there for a second, because that's the good part. But before that is like 5 minutes of Dave Sullivan talking about God knows what.
Oh, this wasn't Evad. This was Kevin Sullivan.
Or Kevin, I'm sorry, Kevin Sullivan. And he's doing just... essentially Bray Wyatt's current gimmick.
From Boston.
Well, kind of, but you know, he's doing that Bray Wyatt thing where he's talking like in generalities about things that'll never really come true.
The shit he did his entire career?
Yeah, right. And then he's just going full on Boston talk. Right as they're about to lose you completely, Rotunda sticks his stupid head in from behind Sullivan. And just starts, you know, yawn in the background, like, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Hype
man. Oh, champ, yeah, tell him. And then, like you said, he...
Rick Steiner was just scratching his head like he had lice
the
whole
time. Yeah, you noticed that? He was just digging in his hair?
I was wondering if that was like a character thing he was doing or if he really just, you know, had bad dandruff or what was going on.
I don't know.
Rick Steiner, you can never know.
It's probably ringworm.
How dumb is that guy for real
and
how much
ringworm.
Of his dumbness is, like, you know, just an act? Because it didn't seem like he had any sort of, like... mid-90s Billy Kidman gimmick going on where we were supposed to think he was dirty.
No, he was just digging in his head.
It was weird.
And good old Mikey hands him the belt, and he's like, you know, I don't need this anymore. You're the new Florida State's Western Coast.
Rick Steiner was so appreciative. He said nobody's ever given himself anything before.
Transcontinental champion. To which Rick Steiner says, wow! Yeah. This is great.
It was weird.
Wow.
It was weird listening to him talk as a young guy who wasn't growling and wasn't barking yet.
No one's going to beat me with this.
Well, he'd retired with that belt, so I think he proved everybody right.
So, just wanted to talk about that.
Because
it happened.
It did happen. I don't like hearing Kevin Sullivan talk any more than you do. So, I'm going to co-sign that. Number two, I did want to swing back around to Jim Cornette a little bit because back when we were watching those 1985 shows, I'd talk week after week about how thank God the Horsemen were on these shows because they got the Horsemen on there four or five times and the Horsemen are really holding everything together. And God, it would be so boring to watch if it wasn't for the Horsemen. Here in 1988, I feel like Jim Cornette and this little stable he's got going at Dick Murdoch and the Midnight Express.
Yeah.
They're in that role, man.
Yeah.
They're doing great shit every time they're on the camera. They're entertaining the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that opening match. Dick Murdoch's out there with them ringside, and he's wearing a windbreaker in his wrestling trunks.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that
just
outfit.
Like an old dad who's walking around the house with no pants on when you got friends over.
Yeah.
It was great. He's wearing that amazing
random hat. It's you don't watch TV. There's those commercials going on right now where it's like
tell me about it.
People buy houses. I think it's like for home insurance.
Cash for gold?
They're like people buy houses and they turn into their dads.
Oh,
and it's like a support group.
Premise.
And there's this one part where like the woman like she's like everybody making fun of me because I got this hat for free and I've been wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free hat. Of course I'm going to wear it.
Yeah, that was a dad thing right
like,
there.
That's what Dick Murdoch looked like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he got
guarantee
that.
He did not pay for that hat.
No, he bought like three packs of Winston's at the gas station, and they're like, oh, here's the promo, the promotional giveaway this week for buying those cigarettes, Dick Murdoch.
Yeah. To paraphrase Kevin Nash talking to Larry Zbysko, hey, Murdoch, nice hat. Did it come with a free cup of soup?
You know, it's a take on Caddyshack.
It's Kevin Nash is always pulling out the, you know, baby boomer references. That guy. This is not like that guy's
He's
a factory
hip.
Coming up with new lines.
He's a hip. He's
Either
a
way,
hip
this
guy.
Match was a lot of fun because Murdoch looked like an idiot outside of it. Stan Lane's just one of the great cocky showboats in wrestling history. He doesn't get talked about enough these days.
Yeah.
His preening and his prancing, his flipping around his bleach blonde hair. And that end where they were hitting the rocket launcher, and as Eaton was up in the air, Cornette turned around, looked directly into the camera, and pointed his finger up in the air in triumph. Made for the rare great camera shot on WCW television.
Yeah.
It's very rare they actually, you know, get the camera on what's happening, let alone frame it well, so you got like a good image you could use or something in a future package video where you're trying to put together like, ooh, this Midnight Express.
Hall of Fame.
They're hot shit.
Hall of Fame ceremony.
Mm-hmm. So, these guys, they're out there a few more times. They're always entertaining, and they're really keeping me from slitting my wrists when we watch these things every week.
The match was just a little too long.
I was fine with the match.
They're just clubbing those boys.
Yeah. It lasted a good 5 minutes, maybe. It was a nice,
I don't know.
Nice mid-range, I thought, between these Sting matches that last 30 seconds and these other ones that go on interminably for 12 fucking minutes.
Yeah, see, I thought it was too long for a squash, which they do periodically. That's why I'm going to go to my number two, I think. My number two. And I want to talk about the Jive Tones versus Kendall Windham and Italian Stallion, because it was the first real match of the show.
Yeah.
With a little back and forth action. And done well, I thought.
Okay.
Tones did a really good heel wrestling gimmick,
they
you know.
Playing the straight heels.
Yep, they're doing it.
Old Kendall and the Italian Stallion, I felt like.
I thought they weren't bad as
I didn't think they matched
faces.
Up well as faces.
Well, I don't. As a team, no.
Yeah, there
as a team, no.
Nothing I wanted to cheer there.
Kendall Windham, you know, looked like his brother and wrestled well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then Italian Stallion seems to be over with those hill rods in Georgia.
Well, you know, he's a cosmopolitan man, probably from, like, I don't know, Jersey or something. That's where all fancy people are from in these people's eyes.
They didn't really gel as a team, but the people cared about the faces, so it made it compelling enough. And Windham did a good job just taking a beating the entire match, and then he finally gets that hot tag, the Italian Stallion. And Stallion's like, hey, I'm going to beat some people up. And then
he's a little porky. Like, he looks like the cartoon drawing you'd see on a pizza box.
Yeah.
He should have really worked that into his gimmick more, I feel like.
Yeah, that would have been good for him. But he's gets that hot tag, beating everybody up, and then he hits a big power slam and then gets too distracted and caught up in his own hate, and instead of going for the pin.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's true.
Gets
he had the
beat
pin,
like a dum-dum.
Gets distracted when one of the Jive Tones jumps up on the ring apron.
Like a dope.
And he's
he
like,
buys
I'm
going
to stop this pin at like two and get up. And then he just gets kneed in the back. So, yeah, I don't know. Definitely.
Like a fucking loser.
I hope they don't have any plans for Stallion going forward, because they made the good guy look like a total moron here.
Yeah.
That was kind of my number one complaint about the match. The end, like, sure, if these were just jobbers, but nah, this is the guy you bring out all the time and expect me to care about. I think it should have just been a couple of local job guys. Have these Jive Tones, you know, run roughshod over them.
It's over, Johnny. It's over! Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off! It wasn't my war! You asked me, I didn't ask you! And I did what I had to do to win, but somebody wouldn't let us win! And I come back to the world, and I see all those maggots at the airport protesting me, spitting, calling me baby killer and all kinds of vile crap. Who are they to protest me, huh? Who are they? Unless they've been me and been there and know what the hell they're yelling about.
It was a bad time for everyone, Rambo. It's all in the past now.
For you! For me, civilian life is nothing. In the field, we had a code of honor. You watch my back, I watch yours. Back here, there's nothing.
You're the last of an elite group. Don't end it like this.
Back there, I can fly a gunship. I can drive a tank. I was in charge of million-dollar equipment. Back here, I can't even hold a job. Fucking guards!
Cool. But either way, it was compelling enough. I was entertained.
Okay, I'm glad somebody was. Number three. They got the big man, JC, Jim Crockett, coming out, and he's presenting Dusty Rhodes with a belt buckle
for being
to commemorate his win
for Bowl of the Woods.
Bunkhouse Stampede.
For the Bowl of the Woods.
This weirded me out. Number one, he already won a big cowboy boot for winning it. That's what you win for winning the match. Why is he getting a belt buckle now?
He got a huge boot and a huge check already.
Yeah. So now they're making him a third thing. Number two, I'm going to talk about Dusty Rhodes. Always doing heel shit. Like, Hogan's doing heel shit, too. Yeah. Like, the two number one good guys in the 80s were basically just playing fucking heels. And then we had to, like, fucking cheer him over and over again. Dusty gets his belt buckle, immediately throws it down and goes, okay. And then, like, shoves Jimmy Crockett aside and then starts cutting a promo about something else.
Yeah.
And, like, what were we supposed to think about this? A, like, okay.
Yeah.
He went through the thing of, like, making him this nice belt buckle. It was all shiny. Look, it had some diamonds on it.
Yeah.
He's just like, gee, thanks.
You know how...
Throws it down.
Do you know how many crayons Davy Crockett went through designing that belt buckle?
Just page after page of construction paper just balled up and thrown in frustration on the playroom's floor in Crockett Manor.
Jeez.
But yeah, if you're not going to like showcase this thing and make it a big deal and like put the camera on it and be like, this is a big accomplishment, why make the goddamn thing?
Yeah.
B, there's no sort of like teasing that Dusty's turning heel during this match.
No,
so
not at all.
Why have such a flippin'... It's just that Dusty's kind of an egotistical asshole.
Yeah.
Just like how Hogan's kind of an egotistical asshole.
He literally took one look at it and tossed it behind him.
This is just Dusty being Dusty right here. Yeah. So yeah, these guys who you were supposed to cheer for as little kids, like, some of us saw through them. It was like, you know, I hope the bad guy beats these guys because...
Because this guy's really
dickheads.
This guy's really agitated by cocaine right now.
Fucking dickhead.
I want to talk about this fat lady sitting up against the wall back here. I come out here every week and I'm out here talking to your brother like I want to. And she's over there saying, Dusty Rhodes, you're nothing but a whale. Well, darling, I have turned down uglier women than you before. So the bottom line, don't try to break my train of thought. Don't try to break the dream train of thought. The bottom line is, now that that's out of the way, is Gary Hart, Kevin Sullivan, you little devil, if you want some of the American dream, you come out here and get this fat woman and come and jump on it, baby, because I'm here all night long taking care of business.
But then this leads up to the whole point of the interview, which is the second part of it I want to talk about, which is a storyline that I'm sucked into instantly.
Sultry storyline.
Sucked into. So our girl Baby Doll looking...
The perfect 10?
Looking more
Baby Doll.
Like a just a refrigerator box than she ever has in her career in this like full-length denim dress with long sleeves on it.
Agree to disagree. I was going to say she moved from a high 6 to a low 7
a
firm
mid-8
right here.
No
I'm
mid-8s
saying she's
on this whole
firm
show.
Firm mid-8
that's
right
including
here.
The hussies Flair brings out of his limo later.
Hey, how about?
So she comes out and is like, hey, Dusty, I got some pictures of you in this manila envelope.
You know, like I'm sturdy.
You know what kind of pictures are in this manila envelope.
They're sex pictures.
So I want a title shot for my man, Larry Zbysko. So, you know, put your shit on the line, Dusty. What's Dusty got at this point? Is he like the U.S. champ or something? Who knows? There's so many fucking belts in this company.
Dusty, I got these pics of me giving it to you with the old strap
Dusty's not no-selling this manila envelope full of pictures. He looks a little disturbed, and he's taking them to the back. He's flustered. He's got nothing more to say. Dusty Rhodes, the man who's always running his mouth, has nothing more to say.
It was a powerful
I got a question
scene.
For you, Matt. Are we going to get to see Baby Doll's butthole in these pictures? Are they going to put Baby Doll's butthole on TV?
All right. First off,
uh-huh.
If that existed, you know I would have seen it already.
That's probably true.
Second, there's no way I wouldn't have seen that already.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
And third...
Maybe I'm building it up too much in my head.
Third, I hope it happens.
Oh, man, it'd be so good if the pictures are just like... Dusty eating ribs in like the background and in the foreground. It's just like Baby Doll bent over in front of him and you just see butthole.
And there's stray hairs.
Dusty's just there's got stray like hairs. Barbecue not, sauce all over his face. It's oh, not yeah. clean you in get there. Some of those butt zits and like yeah. definitely.
Like it's
some,
not a flattering photo.
Hey, this is 1988. So I'll she like wasn't it. Doing so much grooming that she's going I mean, all like the way it. Back in the butt crack.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if anything, she's just, you know, like trimming up the Dorito is. Chip above the little bean a little yeah. bit. So she's not touching back there. So we're going to get a real show.
Was she done with Sam Houston in real life here?
I don't think she ever was, but
or were they married
in the WWF he was at this
in the,
point?
Yeah, in yeah. The I F think at this point,
I think the relationship carried on. If okay. My
well, good for them.
Pro wrestling lore is
good for them.
Yeah, if my knowledge God is bless. Complete about Baby Doll's private life, as I desperately wish it wasn't.
True love will find you in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out just who's your friend.
My best friend is not Dusty Rhodes. That's the point of my number three.
Oh,
he's
wow.
a sex pervert,
oh,
and
wow.
he's ungrateful for nice belt buckles.
The world's going to find out about it.
The world's a vampire.
Loaded boot and loaded strap-ons.
You know who said that? William Corrigan again.
Well, you know, it's like the song says, despite all my rage, mm-hmm. I'm still just a rat in the cage.
No, that's a legendary promo
that,
right there.
That right there, my friends, is the day. The music died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Goldberg kicked Bret Hart in the head.
That's also the day that the wrestling died. I got a number whatever we're on.
Number three. Give me a number three.
Sure. I'm going to give it... It's not really a long match, and there's not much there, but just as quickly as I was ready to poo-poo it,
mm-hmm.
it dawned on me this could have been one of the greatest things ever.
Uh-oh.
The team, Ronnie and Jimmy Garvin.
Go brothers.
Yeah. What do we hate?
He likes to dance a lot and be cocky. You got one who's just a mean old man.
Yeah.
How do these two get along? Doesn't seem
right?
like they would.
But they were firing on all cylinders together,
yeah.
man.
I think
I just had a mini stroke there. It was really hard to get that out.
Blissfully short is what you're saying. Like they came in, House of Fire hit some spots and then it was over. We didn't have to see them actually like try and wrestle.
I liked it, though.
Liked these guys?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I hate these guys. One of the best parts of that match, though,
mm-hmm.
we talked about our boy Tony Suber earlier.
Yeah.
Built like a brick shitter. He's
gotta
a big boy.
Gotta talk about him.
And then there was a doughy, white, green beyond green, Chris
just
Ryan.
Like just how I like him.
Suber.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Garvin does his patented beat the guy into his own corner to where he's forced to tag so
yeah.
that Ronnie... can then beat up the other
now I'm
guy.
Beat up the other guy. That's
so,
how tough I am.
So he beats Suber all the way in the corner and like backs him into Chris Ryan's hand, but Ryan no sells any kind
yeah.
of tag whatsoever.
Get out of there, kid.
And then
he knows what's coming.
Garvin throws like a couple chops.
Garvin don't protect anybody.
And like waits for Ryan to get in. He doesn't. So he throws some more chops at Suber, to which Suber finally just lifts his arm up over Ron Garvin,
please
to the white
me.
Kid, like, you gotta get
it's
in
your
here.
Your turn to take these stiff as shit punches.
And he takes this, like, slow ass step over that middle rope, ducking under the top rope into the ring, looking like somebody just, like, murdered his entire
yeah,
family
he
in front of him.
Looked like the, like, chubby friend in every 80s
yeah.
teen comedy. My number four is another just emotional roller coaster that I went through during that segment where they set up Misty Blue as being the eighth member of the big 4-on-4 tag match coming up.
Fifth man.
You got Jim Cornette and his Midnight Express and Dick Murdoch. They're doing an 8-man tag match against, what is it, Dusty and Barry Windham and Nikita Koloff?
Dusty, Barry, yeah, Nikita.
Okay, and then Jim Cornette laid down the stipulations. He'll wrestle on this match, but the other person in the match has to be like, you know, 5'2 or whatever,
five,
under 150
six,
pounds, blah, blah,
150
blah.
150 pounds.
Clearly, this is all building up to Cornette getting beat up by a woman, which sounds amazing. When Cornette was cutting this promo, I was like, ooh, this is going to be great. They're
yeah.
going to have him humiliated by
who
the woman.
Who are they going to get?
So then they bring out women's champion Misty Blue,
ugh.
Who I've never fucking heard of. I don't remember for the life of me. They
I'm
stick
sure.
a microphone in her
I'm
mouth.
I'm sure Flair just fucked her for like
and
a couple nights as opposed
good
to
good Lord,
night.
You want to talk about just people dying on the air. This woman, pregnant pauses, can't spit out a complete sentence. Even David Crockett's like,
I was gonna say, luckily they had Crockett
vamping a little bit to carry somebody, which is the lowest of the low. Like, that's the worst situation you can be in when TV cameras are rolling.
It was great because, like, he introduces her and she's just standing there with that almost baby doll, like, dead eyes. And
yeah, she
you know,
was like.
And he's like, oh, I'm here with women's
baby doll-esque. This girl's dead eyes.
He just does that mumble.
Like a doll's eyes.
And, like, she goes to talk, and you can see, like, Davy Crockett, like, kind of, like, wince, like, ha, ha, ha. Like, I'm afraid of women.
Also, they got the crowd mic'd way too loud.
Classic
so
Davy R. Scheister.
Random
like,
chatter in the crowd. People talking amongst themselves is louder than this, like, little country mouse whispering
she, like,
into the microphone.
She doesn't understand that the way microphones work are you speaking to them.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, just talking everywhere.
Eat it,
but,
bitch.
Yeah. Oof.
But then it came back around for me again when later on they have Misty Blue lure Jim Cornette into the ring by talking about how much she respects him and how
she wants some
of his tips and his pointers. And
he's good
wants
at the high flyers.
Stuff. And then she gives him a big old drop kick and is like, I'm going to be in this match, you loser. I pulled out the rug from you. Well, you know, it was typical. You knew where it was going. It was a big setup. But Cornette sold the shit out of it just by freaking the fuck out afterwards.
Yeah.
His face was bright red. He
and
had
it was
veins popping out.
It was
sweating everywhere.
Such a bad drop kick,
He's
too.
Screaming into the microphone, she could have popped my kidneys.
She could have popped my
kidneys. I don't even know
kidneys.
What that means. So Cornette's incredulous, and he's made me want to watch him take an ass beating in this match, even though in my brain, I know that it's going to be one of the worst matches that ever happened, ever.
Yeah.
Jim Cornette's a salesman, man. You got to talk him into the building. That's what he's doing. This guy is keeping me alive on these shows.
Name, and Dusty Rhodes also said that his sister could whip me on any street in America. Well, let me tell you something, Dusty Rhodes. I've heard a lot about your sister. I know she's been on a lot of streets, so she knows them real well. As a matter of fact, they used to call Dusty's sister Federal Express. Did you know that? When she went out on a date, she absolutely positively had to be there overnight. But I want to talk about Dusty's whole family. I want to talk about his drunken old daddy down there in Austin, Texas, every Saturday night. Dusty Rhodes' father would go in the worst low-class redneck saloon in Austin, Texas, and there would be fighting, there would be swearing, there would be cussing, and a lot of hard drinking. And finally, he'd be able to drag Dusty's mother out of there. But you know something about Dusty's daddy? He was a successful businessman. As a matter of fact, before he was a plumber, he owned a shoe store. He owned a shoe store down there in Austin, Texas, and he did so good at it that to this day, every time the city of Austin, Texas thinks of Black Loafers, they think of Dusty's father. But let me tell you something, Dusty Rhodes, and I want you to listen real good. The Cornette family has long been regarded not only in Louisville, Kentucky, but all over the country, all over the world, as one of the finest families ever in this country. Beautiful Bobby, Sweet Stan, they come from money, they come from power, they come from movers and shakers, they come from the upper crust. We are not riffraff, we're not rednecks, we're not farmers, and we're not plumber sons like you. So don't you ever, ever dare make comments about the Cornette family, because brother, let me tell you something, we're going to take that into consideration. Just remember, your daddy spent his whole life in other people's toilets, and while he was out there with that plumber's helper, every delivery boy and out of work bum in Austin, Texas knew the color of your mama's bedroom. You remember that.
That was good stuff. It was raucous, I'd say. And that's raucous. What he was doing. He was assaulting the announcers because he was incredulous that he had taken a beating by a woman.
I don't want to give it any time, but I will just bring it up briefly. That Lex Luger promo.
I think he did good this week.
Except for when he referred to Billy Windham.
Okay, yeah. You're going to expect him to get a word wrong or a name wrong.
Yo, be Billy Windham on the same page.
Say something that makes no sense, but would they keep him to a good, like, 45 seconds this
week
or
was,
something?
I will say,
they didn't give
I
him a
that,
chance to, like, start looping around
got,
and repeating the stuff he was saying before.
I've got 4 points on that interview.
Okay.
Right here. Ready? Lex Luger?
Mm-hmm.
Like, uh-oh, he's ready to talk.
Question mark?
First thing, Billy Windham? Question mark, exclamation,
dot, dot,
question
dot.
Mark. And then, they're giving him too much, dot, 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 and then few.
Oh, yeah, few.
So, yeah, so, it really was like you were bordering, just teetering
right
on that. Like
it was right when he was going to start going into his thing where he starts repeating his points, repeating them with words that don't make sense.
They got him
but
out
instead,
of there.
They cut. Maybe they're learning their lesson with this guy. They cut him off there at that point. We've clocked it, and it's 45 seconds. where you've been out there too long and you run out of English words that you know, and then things get bad. You've got a 75-word vocabulary.
That's when
we figured this out.
That's when these shirts get too tight.
Oh, yeah. Way too
After tight. 75 words / 45 seconds, these shirts get too tight.
Mr. Luger, I saw what just happened out there with Ron Killens. I just want to ask you, I mean, what are your plans for the next show of Super Brawl Saturday? I mean, are you going to take care of Ron Killens?
What kind of disgusting, despicable lack of respect does that Billy What's-His-Name show booking a match for the total package Lex Luger and Super Brawl? Super Saturday? What is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday? Can he afford to pay me to wrestle Ron? I don't know. I'm one of the biggest legends and stars ever in this. God! And your t-shirts are too tight too, Billy! And you book a match with me against Ron Killings? Look at me! I'm a total package! I will rip him apart! I'm pissed now!
I don't think I'd...
I tell you, Luger is looking cut.
My next...
got a body on him.
My next thing I want to talk about is... wow, it's a big, long mix of things. And
you got a stew going.
It's that
you got
whole,
a conversation stew going.
It's that whole cutaway they did to the Raleigh Coliseum whatever.
Where Flair's getting the Man of the Year award or whatever. The horsemen are all ducked out in tuxedos. They got women pouring out of limousines.
So there's all sorts of things I want to talk about.
Okay,
here. So
I kind
of
just wanted to talk about this too. We'll get this out of the way and we'll call it a night.
Yeah. Well, I got something after that. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus
but
Christ.
It
could
actually.
Nothing after that.
That was
the high point of the whole thing.
Well, I can parlay this all together because it kind of does play into it. So, you know, you're finally getting the horsemen, right? And they come out and they do their little segment. Where Flair gets his award for being a great wrestler, and then Sting...
the best wrestler of the year.
Kind of wrestles a match.
A little bit.
Then he starts pushing his agenda with Flair. And they give him a microphone.
Oh.
After a match.
Man. It didn't...
And he's...
It didn't look like this was going to go well for a while.
He's just saying these things of... Like, he's calling out J.J. Dillon, and he's like,
okay,
you know,
so
hey...
Yeah. First off... This was another roller coaster because at this point it's all looking great.
No.
He's calling out JJ, or he's calling out Flair. So instead of Flair, he gets JJ.
Yeah.
JJ's got three sluts with him and just a cocktail coupe with some sort of bright yellow liquid in it. Calling it champagne, but this is not champagne.
So
the guy had like a, I don't know, like a some sort of kind of shooter in there, I think. He had like a Sex on the Beaches or something.
Stinger's.
He's looking great. The women are looking great.
Yeah, Stinger's still all jacked up from wrestling. He's still got a lot of cocaine floating through the veins.
And then things go bad.
And he's just looking at JJ, and he's looking at these women, and he knows he has to carry the segment and the
he's
talking for a
little
bit.
Trying to come
up
with some sort of quip
is what
I think he was doing. Women there, huh?
Yeah, he wants
you got,
to...
You got, oh, those are women?
Wants,
you got women?
Yeah, he wants to like make
like,
fun of the women.
Think of a quip about the women.
And like,
think of a quip about the women.
He kind of like starts to describe them a little bit, and I...
to watch him die inside as he can't think of anything to say.
What it came across to me is if the only thing he could think of to say would be something like really dirty.
Oh, yeah,
and
could
like
have been like
sexually
can't say
discriminating
that on
to the women.
Can't say
be
that
like,
on
oh,
TBS.
Wait a minute, I'm a good guy. Like I shouldn't be saying that.
I guess the women wasn't what I should have jumped to right out front. This is
so. Finally, he's just like, I'm at a loss for words right now.
Ugh. Was reminiscent of a really janky indie show that I went to in the very early 2000s. Where they pulled Bullet Bob Armstrong out on a walker, essentially, and he tried to cut a promo saying he was this new commissioner of this promotion that never got off the ground after this one fucking show that maybe 14 people attended. And he stuttered and stammered until at one point he just had to go, "Oh, I sure am sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just not cutting a very good promo right now, am I?" And then he just sheepishly walked off while everybody else kind of looked around confused at each other like, that's not how it's supposed to end. That's not how it's supposed to end. There's supposed to be more stuff. And then eventually everybody just got out of the ring and left, and then they went on to the next match. This old, senile Bullet Bob Armstrong... young, fresh, right out the gate Sting had just about the same promo abilities going on here. Same, you know, metal under pressure.
Luckily,
they cracked.
Luckily, he starts putting the screws to Dylan.
Well, yeah, JJ kind of changes the subject and is just being cocky a little bit. Yeah. So that gives him a chance to be like, okay,
oh, you're a
bad
guy.
About the women, get in JJ's face. The people hate JJ. If like I just act like I'm going to beat him up, that'll be fine. And then it got good again after that. But that, oh, yeah, that part where he started trying to be like, clever, quippy, like late 90s good guy wrestler, but then realized it was the late 80s, not the late 90s. And also,
I can't
he's
be a
not
tweener.
Very clever, so he didn't have anything to say.
I can't be a clever tweener.
Yeah, like, you know, not giving a fuck. Late 90s Kevin Nash would have knocked that one out of the park.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Last week, Roddy Piper came out here and said that he had laid asphalt and cut down trees. He called the NWO a bunch of morons and stupid and what have you. Well, Piper, let me tell you something. Coming from a guy that if he had one less synapse firing in his brain, he'd be in a coma, I don't think too much about that. When I came into this business 7 years ago, I looked down the road that you guys paid for us. I saw nothing but potholes. You guys came into the business, you strip-minded, you took what you could get out of it, and you left the young guys behind you, nothing. WCW was nothing but a bunch of guys pushing their sons. If you didn't have a dad in the business, you couldn't even get an opportunity. Scott Hall was here, I was here. Scott Hall was ready to become a superstar. Hey, I was a little green. But Scott Hall was ready to become a superstar, and you know what you did? He worked here a year, he proved himself, you cut his salary, so he went elsewhere. We went to New York, that's right. We went to New York, and what did we find when we got there? That's right, stayed all night, danced a little longer, party time. When we got there, there wasn't no party, just punishment for the guys trying to dig the business out of the funk you guys left it in.
Wow. Al is right. Pulling
where I come from, which ain't too far from here, south side of Detroit. You don't give respect. You don't get respect. You better beat respect out of me, boys. It's our turn to shine. It's the new generation's turn to shine. There's some young, young lions up here, and it's time for us to get more than a nibble on the carcass, boys.
You think he wouldn't have pulled something from a bachelor party right then and there?
Sure, he would have had some sort of solid fucking line pulled out of his fucking right sleeve up
little
there.
Fucking Bill Murray
little
and Stripes maybe?
Yeah,
you're right there.
Something from like the second act of Stripes before they get in that van and it's not funny anymore. Like he would add something good.
We're all very different people. We're not Watusi. We're not Spartans. We're Americans with a capital A, huh? You know what that means? Do you? That means that our forefathers were kicked out of every decent country in the world. We are the wretched refuse. We're the underdog. We're mutts. Here's proof. His nose is cold. But there's no animal that's more faithful, that's more loyal, more lovable than the mutt. Who saw Old Yeller? Who cried when Old Yeller got shot at the end? Nobody cried when Old Yeller got shot, I'm sure. I cried my eyes out. So we're all dog faces. We're all very, very different. But there is one thing that we all have in common. We were all stupid enough to enlist in the Army. We're mutants. There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us. Something seriously wrong with us. We're soldiers. But we're American soldiers. We've been kicking ass for 200 years. We're 10-1.
I typically don't wear underwear, and if I do, it's generally unusual. Something along Kevin those Nash. Lines.
You're the bee's knees.
Oh, we forgot about the best part before that.
Act like you forgot about the best part before that. What are we talking about?
The actual little 5-second Sting and Bob Emery match when we got a little bit of our boy, Davy Crockett, back on commentating.
Oh, yeah, that was so quick. Did anybody even say anything during commentary?
I wrote it down. You want it?
Give it to me, baby.
Powerful is right. Now watch this. Come across now. Watch this. Scorpion.
All the women say, David Crockett's pretty articulate for a Southern guy.
Those were all the words he said in the match.
I heard actually 4 or 5 words in there, so that's not bad.
Yeah.
And those noises at least were like, throwing some emotion out there. I could tell that he was trying to convey some sort of emotion to me.
His loud part, you know?
Yeah, his loud part. Yeah. It's like, oh, this must be exciting.
Come on now! He's good at what he does, and I love him for it. So anyways, they beat up JJ and then the horseman.
JJ throws that cocktail goop at Sting's face, and then Sting pulls him in the ring and gives him a big stinger splash.
He's like, how dare you? I'm already wearing goop on my face.
And this gives the horseman a good chance to come out incensed wearing tuxes. And I love any sort of segment where the horsemen are like ripping off their tuxes and just going crazy and just super.
I can't be wearing these dress clothes right now.
The wrestler should wear tuxes way more often. It's always great.
Flair just made an entire career out of ripping his own wardrobe apart.
Yeah.
No one does it better.
That's a huge, like, naming other wrestlers.
Yeah.
Crying.
Uh-huh.
Cutting his head open.
Uh-huh.
And taking his clothes off. That's the Mount Rushmore of Ric Flair gimmicks right there, I'd say. That's the big four.
I can think of, like, at least 5 sport coats I would want to watch Ric Flair drop elbows on.
We'll do that as a 3 count sometime. Top three sport coats you'd love to see Ric Flair take off and then drop a knee on.
Yeah, before, like, I'd put those above any, like, other bunkhouse stampede.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that first Magic Mike movie. You get Kevin Nash out of there as the old guy stripper and put Flair in there instead.
Yeah.
That would have been a much better movie.
He's just coming out. Well, they never showed
styling and profiling.
They never showed full dick in that.
Yeah, that's why I was not so into that movie. Flair. Everybody hyped that shit up for months, and I saw it. And
Flair
like,
would have been
not a single peeper in this movie. What are we talking about?
Flair would have been like, I'm a male stripper. Got it. My penis is out.
I'm hanging dong
all the time.
So
and they'd be like,
get
Flair,
used to it,
Mr. Flair. Please put your penis away.
Sorry,
he doesn't.
Baby arm holding an apple. The world needs to see it.
Yeah, ask Sting.
He'd be mailing Sting copies of that, screeners of that movie. Hey, Sting, check out my new movie I'm in. Yeah. I need you to see this.
You have to look at it.
Poor Sting.
You have to. He never had a chance, did he?
Saw a lot of Ric Flair penis in his life.
So they're doing their horseman whatever, and Flair's, you know, just making demands with Jim Crockett, and he's like, get Crockett out here. I'm not wrestling in a NWA ring again until I get Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Sting or nothing. And it's great shit.
Got me hyped up to watch these two guys wrestle. Sting's brand new and I already want to see him fight the champ.
Yeah, they throw it back to the WCW arena.
Where Double A starts cutting a real intense promo while wearing a yellow sweater.
Yeah, but there was so much talking in the show already that...
Yeah, this was like... And then we get Ole talking
finally,
after this, so it's
right,
like...
Yeah, and that was going to be
like
my other point.
Like 5 or 6 talking segments
we're
in a
finally,
row.
We're finally getting to
Where's
the point
talking in this arena?
With the horsemen.
They're talking in this arena.
We're finally getting to the big horseman part, which is what you're waiting for the entire time. When you were watching Nitro in the 90s, you were waiting to see if Sting was going to come out. Is he going to be in the rafters?
He's lurking in the rafters.
Is he going to attack the NWO?
You know that he's lurking.
You've been watching this whole show because you want to see the horsemen. And by the time they finally get out and get to talk, I'm like... I can't watch any more talking.
I've seen a lot of talking.
I can't
Cornette
even pay
talked
attention
through the whole first half of this fucking episode. Now you guys are going to talk more?
And then Ole comes
and
out.
Then when that's when you've had enough, when Ole... You talk about Lex Luger getting cut off when he needs to get cut off.
Oh.
The opposite happened to Ole Anderson this week.
Well, here's the thing. And they put him in like an empty arena. They like toss to an empty arena where he's just talking by himself. Why not utilize like a sit-down interview segment? That would have been great for him.
Oh, yeah.
Ole
next to a fireplace.
Ole was awful when he had to just keep talking and keeping it going by himself. Wearing like a big
sweater, smoking a pipe.
If you ask him questions to where he could hit bullet points, it would have been a great segment. And then you still get Paul Jones coming out and talking later in the show.
It's about the bench press, though. You got to push the bench press. It's coming up.
Either way.
One of these days, it's coming up.
WCW, quit letting everybody talk. And, you know, you don't have to toss to fucking 8 feuds 3 weeks down the road. Just get through your shit now.
You got 2 Sting matches in a row. You got 2 Horseman promos in a row, both coming from different venues and different formats. Like, just quit being so redundant. Like, be like, oh, we already had this thing that you're watching once this show. You can't have it twice in one show.
I'm frustrated all over
That's
again.
Why we don't have 2 5 counts. We have a 5 count, and then we go to a 3 count.
But before that, commercials.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hi, I'm Captain Ricky. Come fly with me to the land of make-believe, where you can pilot the Red Baron airplane and challenge the new cargo nets, romp in the ball crawling down the tube slide. Wow, the land of make-believe has a worm ride, and you'll never get tired of chugging along on the Civil War train. Experience the Little Dipper or the merry-go-round. Touch and talk to Holly the Horse at Old McDonald's Farm. So meet me at the park. There's one low price for all this and lots more at the land of make-believe, Route 80, Exit 12 in Hope, New Jersey.
Star Wars, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The Sound of Music. In the tradition of these great films about fighting back against the odds, 20th Century Fox presents another milestone in motion picture history. Revenge of the Nerds.
Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds!
Nerds! What is a nerd?
They've been laughed at. Picked on.
There's a roommate, pal!
And put down.
I'm not kissing a nerd.
They don't have the moves. Or the muscle.
You know karate?
No.
Good.
But they've got the brains.
I know what we're gonna do.
It's time for the odd to get even.
Their action tonight demands an immediate retaliation.
How many cameras do we have left?
This should do it.
Oh, here she comes.
Go up, go up.
Oh, no. Oh!
That nerd saw me naked.
Nerds!
Are all nerds as good as you?
Revenge of the Nerds. Their time has come.
I drink to that.
Baby, 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 y'all in blow. That's an original.
Oh, wow.
I was just making noise there.
I thought you were just making some... I was trying to place it. I was like, who is that? It sounds like it might be late 80s hair metal a little bit.
You can do whatever you want.
Is that
with
a Bret Michaels that he's doing, I was wondering?
Ooh.
Maybe it's one of the Nelson brothers he's trying to be, I was thinking, but...
Baby oil and blow.
That was the song I would always play on the jukebox at the local Mexican restaurant when I was a kid that had about, I would say, conservatively 14 songs on it you could choose from. It might have been anywhere up to 18, but I'm going to guess maybe 14. And that, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, that was on there. And I'd be playing it while I was eating my quesadillas.
I was a big fan at around that age of, Hold on, little girl, stay with me. Wow. I will be the one to be with
you. Didn't that guy go on to be in...
Gary Cherone?
Van Halen?
Yeah.
Was that? He became he like the third Van lead Halen singer, guy. Yeah. What a roller coaster of a career there. Got that big hit there with that band. And then everybody's like, this guy's over. We'll never hear from him again. And then he's like, no, I'm going to become the third singer of Van Halen. And not only that, I'm going to become the biggest singer of Van Halen and take this band to higher heights than it's ever reached.
I remember as a young child doing homework late at night.
Yeah.
Listening to...
I don't really picture you as much of a homework guy.
No, it's one of the rare times I did it.
Okay.
We're listening to a little 103.5 The Blaze.
Oh, wow.
Before it was Rock 103.5.
Rock 103.5 is kind of when it took a nosedive. Like back when it was The Blaze,
103.5,
they were
the
still
Blaze.
Playing like real shit that like dads could get into.
Yeah.
So and they're like, oh, we're going to get some softer stuff in it. Maybe like some alternative stuff too. Yeah. It's like, nah, man. It used to just be straight up fucking dad rock 24/7.
And it was like they were doing like their top 5 at 8 or something
we
like that.
We might be able just to put together like a Chicago area radio stations podcast because we've been talking about them a lot. Well, just like a little bit of like.
If you don't know about it,
stay back in the 80s and just be like 80s Chicago radio stations. Let's talk about them.
Yeah. I was listening to it one night and I mean, it was like that carryover of like hair metal still kind of being a thing.
Yeah.
I want to say
Great Days should have always been a thing.
Extreme or somebody had like a song on the top 5.
Why wouldn't they have?
And then they had the song from this new up and coming band.
Wasn't those Guns N' Roses?
No,
jerks,
they were.
Was it?
They were from Chicago.
Oh wow!
And they were called. It was a weird name.
Uh-huh.
The DJ was like, "I don't really understand the name, but I dig
Sounds
the tune."
Dumb.
And they were called
William Corgan and the Smashing.
They were called
Pumpkins.
The Smashing Pumpkins. And I can remember as a young child being like, "That's a weird name." I mean, it must have been like Today or something. I don't know. What song is it? What was like the first big hit?
Today
something
was the
off
first
of Siamese
big
Dream,
hit, but
yeah.
They had one that was like a modest hit before that.
Yeah, I want to say it was not
I
Today.
I don't remember.
It was a little more hard rock
songs
and
off that album.
Yeah. Man, it's so hard to. Yeah,
and it was
kind
of weird because it was like Nirvana. Yeah, that's a just one word powerful name, and they're playing these fucking like kind of raw songs. And it was like Pearl Jam. I don't know what that is, but it's got jam in there.
Yeah.
And they're all whir. And then it was like, what's the third one? And it was like Smashing Pumpkins. That's a weird name. And then like, oh, this guy seems like kind of a pussy who's singing. And is that Asian one a man or a woman? I'm not certain.
There were times you would have thrown one in him.
So I guess that's when you learned that the alternative movement was going to be multifaceted.
James E. Howe was beautiful. Admit it.
Seattle grunge. Chicago's got an answer for it.
Yeah. And Seattle, all you got is Frasier.
Still a legendary band to this day.
Grunge died.
William Corrigan's on
Frasier.
Top of the world.
Live.
Yeah, grunge is dead. Billy Corgan owns the NWA. Who won that one?
Well, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do? Good night, everybody.
Mercy.
What are we talking about?
Three count.
Oh, sure.
This
yeah.
Is where we wrestling. Talk about more wrestling.
More wrestling.
This week, we really kind of struggled to come up with a topic. We try to, I don't know, thematically pull these things all together some way, but.
Tailor it to what we've watched.
WCW episode was such a barren wasteland. What do you got? So. You threw out the idea underrated stables.
Yeah.
It makes sense. There was that segment with the Varsity Club. Yeah. Had a lot of talent on it. I'm calling this whole Midnight Express and Dick Murdoch stable one of the best stables.
It's
been forgotten. Man. Nobody talks about them being a stable. I didn't remember them being a stable. So let's open it up a little bit. Let's get out of the 80s maybe, or maybe dabble back into the 80s. We'll talk it all
Depends
time.
Where we
we'll
go.
Open it up to everybody.
All time.
We'll, make it easy on ourselves, and we'll do our top three underrated stables. Stables that maybe had more potential and they didn't get the push they should have. That's a term all you people out there on the internet know, I'm sure. The push.
The push.
Who's getting the push? This guy should be pushed.
Gotta get the rub.
Why aren't they pushing him? He's buried.
Getting the rub.
Should be pushed, but he got
gotta get
buried.
The push. Need the rub.
I'd like the push and the rub.
Ooh.
What's your number one?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm just Powers Booth in it
right
now.
You didn't even come up with any, did you?
No, I just wanted to talk like Powers Booth
it.
For 15 minutes.
I knew
it. My first one we just talked about, and that is
The
Varsity Club.
Hey, sticking in the 80s for the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Um, I liked,
loaded roster here.
I liked the idea.
Crossover athletes.
Of that group, man. Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like the Spirit Squad, but men.
Yeah. Like, and you know me, like, what's my favorite part about Revenge of the Nerds?
It's the jocks, the
bullies.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're the cool ones. That's who we should have been rooted for.
So instead of a bunch of nerds that become empowered,
ugh,
you got the jocks.
Except
wearing...
for Booger. He's cool. Booger's if I was cool, those jocks, I'd been like, Booger, why don't you come hang
Booger,
out at
like,
our place?
You like, just like to party, bro?
Yeah, like, you like to party. Like, you flick boogers everywhere. Yeah. Like, you wear funny shirts. Like, yeah, we're all into that stuff.
Yeah, come on over.
Oh, you
over,
chug beer
invited.
Constantly? Like,
yeah.
That's what we're fucking
don't,
doing.
I didn't.
Like, why were they cool with Ogre, but not with Booger?
Yeah, like, what was it about Booger that made him nerdy?
I guess just because he was not athletic.
Dawson, Dudley.
Call me Booger.
All right, Booger. Rahim, Taj.
Excuse, please, but why do they call you Booger?
I don't know.
He couldn't get on the football team, so like it was kind of an insular
you gonna tell
environment
me, like,
at that school.
He probably wasn't awesome at like bowling or like billiards or something.
Oh, yeah, sure. He's one of those fat guy sports. I'm sure he
yeah.
could have definitely done
hell yeah.
that.
Yeah, should give him a second chance. But the varsity club, man, you got potential there. You could bring in people,
mm-hmm.
people that are
mm-hmm.
struggling, like,
just like
can't really connect
can't
with
think
anybody.
Of anybody else to bring in.
Yeah.
Ask JR, who was an athlete in college.
Yeah.
You know he knows.
He was trying to get a varsity club going in WWE.
Hey, JR, you're
years
weirdly
later.
Obsessed with college
yeah.
athletics. Who's good right now?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, this guy's a real powerhouse. He got a real great physique. That's great, man. Can we put a coat on him? Oh, yeah, he lettered in this and that. No. Just,
wonderful.
Just fine. Just get him over in the show.
Yeah, Rotunda, Steiner.
Yeah.
These guys are great wrestlers.
You could have kept that
great
stable
personalities.
Going. You could have kept bringing people in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin
mm-hmm.
Sullivan's getting weird, and he's starting to do that Taskmaster bullshit.
You got to kick him out of
this nobody
stable.
Understood. Right.
Start your little weird dungeon thing, man. You're not a fit with us anymore.
And how do you do that?
Bring in Dr. Yeah. Death as the new guy.
Yeah, you have all those jocks turn on him.
My boy, Dr. Death.
You just beat the shit out of him.
I think this
like,
guy's one of those goth fags.
Yeah, we don't
Let's
like
get
that.
Rid of him.
Bam. And, like, you don't have to bring Kevin Sullivan back as, like, the face because he got beat up. No, you just have him be like, you've done wrong. I'll show you all. I'm crazy evil now.
Call my friends. Yeah. We're going to put on trench coats.
Ooh,
shoot
no,
up
no,
Colorado
no,
school.
No,
no,
oh,
no.
No, you can't.
Oh.
Can't do that anymore.
All right. Yeah. Well, at that time, though, it would have been a good idea.
The beautiful people.
Back when everybody wasn't doing it, it would have seemed
yeah.
novel.
Yeah. So, varsity club.
Yeah, I think they could have lasted. They brought them back weirdly in
yeah.
like 96 or something, 97, 98,
and that was with
I don't know.
Dr. Death.
Yeah, it lasted for like 2 weeks.
Forget,
and that was not
yeah.
the era for it.
No.
You needed it going in the late 80s, early right. 90s. That's when it could have happened.
Opportunity missed.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Okay, my number three here. I feel like a good stable is about taking a bunch of disparate parts, some strewn about parts, and
yeah.
bringing them together into a whole that is greater than the sum of those parts. Like, the people in the stable, they should be doing better as a stable
mm-hmm.
than they were on
mm-hmm.
their own. That's key. So I got one that a lot of people disrespect. A lot of people want to poo-poo. I think did a real good job of taking three guys who were floundering and putting them together in a package that made sense. I got two words for you, and then I'm going to ask you who I'm talking about. Uncle Cracker.
Uncle Cracker.
That's my two words.
Can't find nobody
oh, yeah.
like me. Doom, doom, doom. Follow me. I don't know.
Okay, Uncle Cracker did that X Factor theme music.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah. You dealing with the X Factor.
Oh, man. I didn't realize that was him.
So,
oh, shit. You got Albert.
Albert, he's a big
Bernard,
imposing looking guy.
Yeah, the great Bernard.
But his matches are boring. In Japan, his matches were fine because you could knock people's heads off.
Yeah.
In WWE, where you gotta, like, you know, not be all stiff-ski, he didn't have the devastating looking stuff.
No.
So he was best looking strong behind people and being that heater, that enforcer.
Oh,
you got
boy.
Just Incredible.
Yeah.
Who, got caught up in that invasion storyline
yeah.
or anybody who wasn't a WWF guy got made to look like a total jobber.
Yeah.
So he's just floundering as a total jobber. Then you got X-Pac. Great talent. Big name. But he was tainted because he was just playing the second fiddle to everybody for so long.
But he's a mouthpiece. He's everybody a real saw him as a scrub. Mouthpiece.
So you get him a heater. You get him a tag partner he can stooge off of. He's not the stooge anymore. This could have really rejuvenated X-Pac and turned him in. You get awesome Uncle Cracker music. Yeah. Oh, man, that music cooked. Instead, I don't know. It was just the creative of the time. This is the dark years after Stephanie took over and they didn't know how to build stars anymore, and it was just like, oh, we're not going to make X Factor a huge thing.
And let's give it to a personal friend of the show, Justin Credible.
Yeah, shout out to you, man.
He was looking good X Factor era.
Absolutely.
He had some abs. Yeah. You know, he was in decent shape.
Mm-hmm. He was wearing, like, real tights. He didn't look like an ECW scrub anymore.
He had, like, purple tights or some shit. Yeah, I remember
that. He was just like, granted, he was not world champion material, so at those last days at ECW where they're going with him as the main guy, it didn't really work, but he was solid, smarmy, mid-card heel. Like, he's Miz level now, I'd say.
If you're
looking at, like, the current roster, the shit the Miz is doing, Justin Credible was there.
So you're talking about the build of the team, the package. I'm
talking about packages.
The components.
Big surprise.
Me, I'm all about the ropes, baby. I'm about the storylines.
Swinging ropes.
About the storylines, you see. I want to talk to you about a team.
I'm ready for it.
It's a team of three unlikely guys.
I love these three-man teams.
That you never expected. It was a magical year.
It's like a fucking star-crossed lovers, though. They found a way together, I
bet. It's a magical year in 1999.
Oh, wow. This is interesting.
Which three guys that had nothing in common at all. In fact, two of them were kind of enemies for a while. They found out they had one thing in common together.
All right.
And that one thing?
What was it?
New Jersey.
Oh, the Garden State?
Yeah, I'm talking
about...
Are
we talking about Zach Braff, number one?
Yep.
Number two, Peter Sarsgaard?
Yep.
Number three, Natalie Portman?
Yeah, there you go.
The Garden State?
Yep. The Jersey Triad.
Oh, fucking A.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Big name.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Ugh, no shocker there that he's got Jersey roots.
And one of his longtime rivals, Canyon.
Oh, yeah. They were good together, and they were a good feuding, I felt like. I felt like Canyon
they
and
had
DDP
good chemistry
had
together.
Good
really
chemistry.
Really good chemistry together. But either way, these three guys were put together because it was 1999 and it was WCW and they had nothing better to do.
Oh, yeah. The storylines were all over the place. Yeah. Nobody was in charge.
But here's how it could have been great. You put these three Jersey Warriors together, right?
Bam Bam's a great big man. Yeah. Great talent. DDP.
He's been around for a while, right?
DDP's DDP. Yeah. Canyon, great wrestler. And so, could do some goofy comedy. They've all got, like, different talents that sort of, you know, they can lean on each other.
So let either DDP or Canyon get a little fat and take that Stallone and
Copland
role, right?
That sounded good.
We're just a couple of wrestlers, you know, just shining with some matches, you know, a couple guys, you know.
Have you ever seen a one-trick pony in the field, so happy and free? If you ever seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-leg dog making its way down the street? If you ever seen a one-leg dog, then you've seen me. Then you've seen me. I come and stand at every door. Then you've seen me. I always live with love than I had before. Then you've seen me. But I can make you smile when the blue hits the floor. Tell me, friend, can you ask for what's you?
Each one of them could have had their own song from Springsteen's Nebraska, and then they all could have come out to Atlantic City together.
That's
you know?
I love the idea of that.
Like, and then you're just having them, like, just be, like, weirdly, poetically tragic, and just kind of past their prime, but, like, maybe they still got a chance. Like,
they don't even want to live in New York.
And then what, you have Bischoff or whoever the fuck come out one day and be like, you could have been the champion. You had your chance, but you blew it.
Well, these Jersey guys are real underdogs, you're saying.
Yeah, people have been pulling for him, man.
I didn't think of the whole underdog from, you know, the Jersey State like angle there. That could work.
They were building them as like bully bad guys from Jersey. No, no. You got it all wrong, man.
They could have done more with them as a heel stable, too, though.
Well, that's fair.
I mean, like, DDP was a former champ at this point, but, I don't think people really bought him as the champ. He was kind of just the champ because he was booked as the champ and everybody knew it. Yeah, as
paper
a good
champ.
Guy, I think if you give him like two goon bad guys doing his dirty work and have him be a big heel champ, I think it would have gave him a legitimate run where people were like, oh, he's the champ.
I don't want to say.
He's a strong heel. Like he's, I see why he's the champ.
I think they even put the tag straps on Bam Bam and
Canyon. They were doing Freebird rule with him. They were letting
him,
yeah,
oh, that's right.
Switch it all up.
Yeah, they all had it, yeah. Huh.
Yeah, but at that point, the tag straps didn't mean anything. The storylines didn't mean anything. No. They had a good Saturn and Raven for the tag titles feud, which worked out great. And then they kind of broke them up without ever actually doing anything with them.
Yeah, well, that's where Canyon came in, because Canyon came out, and they're like, oh, he's going to help out his Flock brothers. And then he turned on him.
Can I have cream soda too, Mr. Raven?
Oh, yeah. That's how he joined the triad, right?
Yeah, that's how he joined the triad.
Yeah. And then it faded away, and soon they were all feuding again, but for no real reason that I can remember. I think it all just broke apart.
No.
I think I like the New Jersey triad a lot better than Shane Douglas's triple threat that Bam Bam was also
right.
I didn't get that
Chris
one.
Chris Candido?
Yeah, I was like, why are Candido and Shane Douglas and Bam Bam such good friends? This doesn't make any sense to me. They
Jersey
all got
triad.
Those tattoos, though, so I guess they were really digging that stable.
Well, none of them are alive anymore, so.
I'd get a Jersey Triad tattoo before I'd get a Triple Threat tattoo. Yeah. I'm telling you that right now.
Absolutely. Hands down.
Let's go get some tattoos.
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay. All right, the episode's over.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. We're still going to go. My number two was also the Jersey Triad, so you got to go again.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Look at this right
here.
Yeah,
the triad?
Number two, New Jersey Triad, brother.
Oh,
New
man.
New Jersey Triad.
I love that we both love New Jersey
so
much.
We're on the same
much.
Page there for
oh,
sure.
Oh, God. We're going to go to Atlantic City for real. All right. My number one.
Maybe Patterson, even.
Ooh.
I liked that Jim Jarmusch movie.
It's a nice film. My number one, they got a decent little run.
Good
but I
them.
Feel like there was a lot of more opportunity missed. Again, I'm a storyline guy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about
have a storyline
what you could have done with them. And that's a UFC superstar CM Punk's faction, the Straight Edge Society.
Sure.
Before he was a UFC superstar.
Mm. Wait, he had a career before that?
Yeah, yeah. Before he
oh,
took,
yeah, he was
yeah.
writing Thor comics,
yeah.
right?
I'm sorry.
And then
he
transitioned from
before
being a comic
that,
book writer into being an MMA
before,
star.
Before being a professional comic book writer and professional MMA superstar.
And he must have been like an infant before
Phillip
that.
Brooks
I don't understand it.
Was
unless
a wrestler.
He's like a guy in his 40s or something. That can't be true.
I think he's mid-50s now. He was a wrestler, and he had the Straight Edge Society.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Which they only gave him like two people, and it was...
solid people.
It was Luke Gallows.
Mm-hmm.
They finally took that... Festus gimmick off of him,
which I kind of enjoyed.
Yeah, but it was hilarious that they were like, no, he's not really a handicapped hillbilly, he was just on a lot of drugs. And CM Punk got him clean.
That's a storyline right there.
That's funny stuff right there. And then they gave him that Selena.
I think they were calling her Serena, maybe?
Serena,
I don't know.
And they get
Serena
they gave
Deeb
him,
was
yeah,
her name on the
Serena
indies.
Yeah, Serena Deeb. They gave, her,
if they gave her a new name in
they,
the
they gave
the WWE.
They gave Punker Joey Mercury at the very end, but it didn't matter.
He's a great fucking wrestler, too. Like, those three together with a chick like Valet, that's a solid team.
That's a solid team, but either way, you got this great built-in feud. Jeff Hardy was, like, trying to work his
addict.
Way. Yeah, he was trying to work his way out of the WWE because of drugs. And
mission
WWE
accomplished.
Was trying to keep him in wrestling by
mission
being like,
not accomplished.
Like, hey, you can finally be the champion. You know, just keep it clean, pal. Just keep your stuff
bad
together.
Idea.
And
he's
like,
not going to keep it clean.
If you, like, the whole
ever.
The whole storyline was just Punk being like, you're awful because you're on drugs. And the crowd's like, no, you're the bad guy. Don't say that. And it's like, no, really, he's on drugs.
You can all kind of see that it's true, but you're a dick for pointing it out.
Yeah. So, like, you could have done like a storyline where like CM Punk gets Jeff Hardy clean, but that means like he's in CM Punk's weird cult.
Yeah, now I shave your head.
Yeah, and you let...
I like the visual of it where Punk had his beard and his hair really long at that point, but everybody else had to shave their head.
Yeah, and you just keep...
really looked like automatons.
Right, you just that's keep letting...
Fight Club shit.
Punk, like, just...
Fucking those same 19-year-old white dudes who love CM Punk love Fight Club. Yeah. Throw some Fight Club shit in there.
Have him doing weird stuff and being like a Tyler Durden type.
Could
have
shaved six or seven more heads.
Yeah, you could have had people joining this thing, and like anytime you want to reset somebody, just be like, they're fucked up on drugs, and Punk saved them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, he didn't. They're just in his weirdo cult. And then you're going to want to see him, you know, revolt and get out of that and whatever.
I like those cult angles. That's why my number one's fucking Raven's Flock, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Raven's Flock.
Give it to me.
You want to talk about the greatest, you know, stable ever. A lot of people talk about the Horsemen, and a lot of it's because they kept it small, and all the guys were top guys.
You know,
they could all wrestle. They could all talk. They were all kind of equals. Raven's Flock showed. It's
complete opposite
you could do
of that.
The complete opposite, and it could still work. There's one guy. He's the main guy, Raven. He's the leader. He's got
no one else gets to be the leader.
He's got two, like, lieutenants, though, who are also legit.
Sure.
He's got, like, Kidman and Saturn. They both win a bunch of matches. They're both good wrestlers. And then everyone else is just scrubs.
Doesn't matter.
Some of them are just big dudes, so you got a big guy standing around.
Talking about Briggs?
Whatever they renamed Heavy Metal Van Hammer. They also had another one of those just big, weird giant... Reese. They had Reese
that
there.
Was his name. Yeah.
But Scotty Riggs was in there. Lodi was the guy who was just in there like to be...
He was the holding signs.
Him and Stevie Richards were just like the little fucking weasels to get heel heat and shit. But it had a good video game structure that went to all of Raven's feuds. Because you had to fight your way up through the ranks of these scrubs to get to Raven. And then like you had to finally fight one of Raven's lieutenants
before
that. And if you were able to beat... Then you got to the final boss, Raven.
Yeah.
It worked out real well.
They were like literally the street game from a Final Fight.
Oh, yeah. That's a great game.
Yeah. Like you could have brought in Mayor Mike Hagar to fight Raven's
Flock. These guys were over, man. Like Saturn was so over from this, he could have been a top guy.
Yeah.
Kidman was so over this from he could have been a top... Raven was a fucking top guy. They just didn't... put him in top guy feuds. They didn't do nearly enough of this shit. At this point...
Oh, he was huge. Like
all they could fucking care about was the NWO. They did not see that this thing could have been the hugest fucking thing after that, because they had no vision for after that, which is why they fucking failed as a company.
Right, like NWO was already starting to like get long in the tooth. And like Raven's Flock
transition
was just
Transition that shit over
it.
To Raven's Flock being the next big angle, and
like
you would have...
bringing in these drug-addled kids like...
Yeah, it was
Kidman,
great too.
Kidman mattered.
You could take scrubs and give them something to do. Just a guy who was a total scrub, and then suddenly he's fucking put in the flock, and now he's got a purpose out there. And it was in a storyline people would care about. And after this, Raven just was never the same, because he never had a flock again. That's when he worked. And they've done so many other characters, like we talked about Bray Wyatt, CM Punk. They keep trying to go back to this cult leader gimmick. Really. Kevin Sullivan was the first one, but Raven's the one who did it on a big stage and made it like a big thing.
Kevin
was
Sullivan
super successful.
Had like cartoon characters following him around.
Well, down in Florida, it was much more legit than shit he did in WCW, but still, Kevin Sullivan's not a talent on Raven's level, I'm going to say. Raven could have been the top guy with this shit.
Raven
without a flock,
talk,
he just wasn't the same, and it was just never the same again for Raven.
They gave him, like, those tag team with him in TNA when he was doing, like, the Clockwork
CM
Orange.
Punk and Julio De Niro.
Oh, that's right.
A little scrubby CM Punk.
Out of Cream Soda Tumors, Raven.
That's my number one.
That's a good pick. I like
gotten
that.
Through all of them.
I like that.
These are the stables that weren't nothing and should have been.
Shoulda, coulda, been.
But all you wanted to talk about was the NWOs and the DXs of the world. I got two words
right?
for you, wrestling bookers.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off.
And from all of us to you, fuck off at home.
Mm-hmm.
This
fuck
is
right off.
This is Baby Oil and Blow.